promise to use Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider call is always brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. Check out Scal and Pals on Radio.com/SCAL and on the Radio.com app. Just search Scal. Scal, what's going on, man?
I'm just good. I'm in Cleveland, so usually when I come to the city, it was to see the great LeBron James play, but no LeBron James, but it's a little Boston Cleveland tonight, so it's, you know, the normal grind of the NBA.
You get to see the great Darius Garland come off the bench instead.
I do like Darius Garland, but I put him a little closer to Ja Morant. I don't think they're as close now as seeing Ja play the first couple games. Mm. Ja has a much better feel to the game than I thought. I think the hardest thing when I watch a point guard in college compared to the NBA is that feel for the game. And Darius Garland didn't have a lot of clips because he only played like 4.5 games. And Ja Morant, you're like, okay, he does some things well, but it's mostly scoring. He passes, but it's mostly, you know, like he drives and kicks to a guy. Like, Ja Morant has way more savvy and feel towards winning basketball than I could have even imagined.
Yeah, we like the sound of that. Like, there's no that. Question about it. We were actually just talking about Ja Morant before we brought you on, Scal. He's only playing about, what, 27, 28 minutes,
28
Jason?
Minutes a game.
28 minutes a game. His per 36 numbers are through the roof, averaging basically 25-7 per 36, but he's only getting 28 right now. Is that sort of, when you're dealing with a team that's not contending, is that the smart thing to do as a coach, to sort of manage minutes like that, especially a guy who plays as hard as Ja Morant does? Or, you know, because Memphis fans want to see as much as Ja as they can, especially considering there won't be many wins this year.
Yeah, true. But there's one thing that people don't talk about a lot in the NBA, and this holding guys accountable. You want to build the habits of, like, winning habits, habits where, let's say you're guarding a screen and roll and you lay on the screen versus fight through the screen, right? And maybe the number at 35 minutes a night, you start laying on screens, and then what does that turn
That's
into, you know, 3 years down the road? But when you're playing high-level basketball and you got to get used to playing that, maybe for right now, as hard as he plays, he can only do it for 27 minutes. And then there's also the idea that long term, it can really end up hurting you if injuries or wear and tear. You know, guys coming from college are not used to this workload at this point. And maybe it's one of those things where they start, you know, right now, but in February, March, or even April, you might move the needle a little bit more and seeing what he could do over the course of 36 minutes a night. So I like the way that they're playing him. It's just I really like the way that he's playing. I think that he does more towards winning than a lot of guys. He's not celebrated just for his scoring and his assists. He does a whole lot more than that.
What about Jaren? If you look at the numbers right now, you know, his biggest challenge right now, and he wasn't on the floor last night. He's got some knee soreness. His biggest challenge right now is just staying on the floor, right? Playing and playing through fouls. He's having a hard time with that. Tim McMahon pointed out, to your point about the two of them, that only three of Jaren's baskets have come assisted off of Ja. And if you figure that's the entire point of the season, right, Scalabrine, to get those two comfortable together and seeing what they can become together, that is maybe even more than Ja's minute right now. More of a concern is that the two of them together aren't clicking.
You think a concern, or you think? Like,
well, I'm not out on the street corners going crazy through five games. Believe me, right. Oh no, not that level of concern. But if this whole thing's about the two of them, we're just saying we'd sure like to see them out there, or at least playing two-man ball together a little bit more than we have.
Yeah, so you're used to seeing, like, this can keep it real, right? Conley-Gasol combination in the fourth quarter was one of the best in the NBA, right? So then you're used to seeing, like, these two guys work off each other. It'd be great for them to eventually get to that level, but it takes time for that to happen. You know, like, the idea that you trust that this guy's going to throw you, give it back, go to the dribble handoff, you know, play the two-man game, and, you know, that I'm sure – when there's so many things to teach a young point guard when he's starting a season. You don't want it to be about, like, hey, let's just make it about you two guys going out there and scrapping the offense and just playing two-man game at times, even though ultimately, like, sometimes two-man game with a point guard and a big who could shoot is one of the hardest things in the NBA to stop. You know, you'll eventually get to that point, but if you just put so much emphasis on that early, it could hurt you later on down the road when you're talking about, you know, Ja's overall development and getting other people involved, or his driving kick, or his ability to come off of those dribble handoffs and explode to the basket. You know, he's thinking about all these other things versus just saying, like, hey, let's just play two-man game down the stretch.
Makes sense. Patience, you're preaching. I get that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like, that's – and I think that's the common theme for Memphis, what has to be – like, has to be the patience that we're gonna be good eventually, and we got to grow with the idea that eventually we don't want these guys getting hurt. We want these guys growing the right way. We want to still put a lot of emphasis on their bodies and building up, you know, like becoming stronger, becoming more flexible, not missing your weight workouts because you're getting pressed and playing 35 minutes on Monday, mm-hmm. and now you can't do the extra work that you need to do. Even though you're good, and it's good that you're playing, you're getting the playing time to develop, what about you know, the extra work that you need to do with your coaches working mm-hmm. on certain things, or even in the weight room and building your body up?
Yep. We are, of course, talking to Brian Scalabrine, radio.com sports NBA insider. Insider calls brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. With the rookie class, have you been most impressed by Ja? Is it Tyler Hero for you? Like, who is the rookie that, you know, 2 weeks into the season, basically, you've been most impressed by?
Kendrick Nunn.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
He doesn't look like a rookie.
He's 26 years old. I mean, so he does. Is he really a rookie?
Yeah, I know. The one thing that we should bring up, so I would think a lot of guys would say this. When I was a rookie, and I'm not trying to be like the old guy on my lawn, right? Not at all. I love the way the game is played right now. But back in the day, it was like rookies never got calls. They would go to the basket, they'd get hammered, referee would just follow the whistle. I don't think it's like that anymore. I think they call the game like they call the game. I don't think that they give, at least so far of what I've seen across the board, like I don't feel like James Harden – gets any more calls than somebody else anymore. I think everybody, because, you know, the league is a really no-touch league now. So it's no-touch for everybody. It's not just no-touch for the superstars. It's no-touch for everybody. So these young rookies who have crazy ball skills and they can pull up and their skill level is just off the charts. Remember, a lot of these guys have had, like, personal trainers since they were 14 years old or even younger than that. Their ball skills are good. They're athletic as heck. And a lot of people don't know, you know, what their game is. They don't know that Tyler Hero likes to go right and step back, or they don't know that John Morant prefers to go, you know, left. Like, they don't know those things yet. You start to watch a lot of basketball and you'll start to pick that stuff up. So when it comes to that, their athleticism, their quickness, their ball skills, I think the officials are giving these guys the benefit of the doubt, which, you know, like, if you're a young player and you get, you know, two free throws, and you can build a lot of confidence off of that. You know, like, a lot of these guys, when they go out there and play, they're wavering. They could go one way one day, have 20 points. The next day they can have 2 points, because that's just the way it goes for rookies, and most guys are used to that. But these young guys are showing us a ton of confidence with, you know, like a little layup here, a wide-open jumper here, getting to the free throw line there. So I've been really impressed by this class. They've already started talking, you know, the Michael Jordan class with Hakeem Olajuwon Jordan, and then they have the 2003 class, the 96 class, and they're talking about this class being like the next great class, and Zion Williamson hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. Scal, are you, do you have the world's smallest violin out for the Warriors? Like, have you gotten that out already?
I know. I got an electric guitar, man. Like, I'm celebrating. Well,
I mean, it does feel good. I'm like the rest of the league. Like, they had a tyranny for so long, you know.
Yeah, and listen, I coached 1 year in Golden State. I love those guys. I love Steph Curry. I think he's a great human being, and he's an awesome worker. One of the best workers I've ever seen in my entire life. And my guy was Draymond Green. I loved his, you know, like how edgy he was, and he was edgy when he was not a guy who was well known. He's just as edgy now. I love everything about them, but as the years go along, and those guys have been roasting people, and Steph Curry's shooting shots and shimmy shaking on the bench without before the ball even goes in, like, that rubs people the wrong way. So every night when they go into an arena, people are circling, you know, like, hey, we got the Warriors tonight. And I think it's actually helped them a little bit that Steph Curry's not out there, that Draymond Green's not out there right now, because they're like, now they're kind of sleeping on the Warriors because they got a bunch of players that they don't know. And they ended up beating Portland last night, and they had Charlotte on the ropes the other night with these young guys that we don't even know who they are. So, yeah, like the NBA with Steph Curry and those guys, they feel like they owe them some punishment for all the punishment that they doled out, you know, the last couple of years.
Do you like this version of Boston better with Kemba in there? He's averaging 26. Tatum, more importantly, has looked more like, right, the star I think we all thought we watched during his rookie season, all said, man, he's going to be one. But I do wonder about defensively. I mean, you take a Horford off any team, and there's going to be a big difference there. What do you think about this Celtics team and sort of where it finishes in the East? How good can they be?
Yeah, so you talk about the minus of Al Horford, mm-hmm. and that's going to hurt. But you also should bring up, you know, losing Kyrie defensively can really help, too. So
no doubt. That's maybe that is a wash. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you watch the Nets play, like Kyrie, the Nets used to play pretty hard, and Kyrie doesn't play any defense in Brooklyn. So you got you, and I agree with you. At first, I was like, "Oh man, we're gonna miss Al." Mm-hmm. But what I did not factor in is like, yeah, but like the guy Kemba is a much better defensive player.
He's stirring it,
than Kyrie, because Kyrie doesn't try all the time on the defensive end. So you got a lot of guys like getting after it. You got a lot of guys impacting the ball defensively. So it makes a difference when you watch Boston, because their guards are in, they're picking up people, they're turning people, they're forcing a bunch of turnovers on guys. So defensively, I like this team a lot better. Offensively, the one thing, last year they were 29th in field goals in that restricted area. This year they're like, I think they're sixth in the NBA. So I think that that's important, right?
Like, yes.
I've never met a good team that didn't get to the restricted area and finish at the basket. So those two areas are really glaring to me. And I'm not a big chemistry guy. I know everyone probably thinks I am, because I was like the ultimate high-five guy on the bench and stuff like that. I'm not a chemistry guy, but I do believe in style of play. And I always believe the style of play with teams getting to that restricted area, getting to the free throw line, is a style of play that is conducive over the course of 82. You have to be able to do that, or else you're not going to be you're not going to be that good.
Right.
Scal, I'm sure you saw the news earlier this morning. John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks was suspended for 25 games for violating the terms of the NBA anti-drug program. He joins DeAndre Ayton, he joins Wilson Chandler, and every single time, nobody ever can believe that this happened. It's totally unbeknownst to me. I put something in my body that I didn't know was. I mean, like, do you ever think we will get to a point where a player? It's just like, just keeps it real and says, you know what, I did it.
I don't know, but I will say this. He's about to lose $600,000. You would think for to ruin your reputation and lose $600,000 that you would pay more attention to what you put in your body. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if I knew $600,000 was on the line, I think I would come out and say, you see this bottle right here? I took this bottle, and I bought it at GNC for $15, and it never says anything that's illegal on here, and this is how I got banged. But no one ever says that. Everyone says, I can't believe it. But I will say this. You watch John Collins this year, he's, like, in better shape. He's flying around the floor. So I know he got banged, but I doubt it was just that supplement he got from GNC or whatever it was. But I kind of hope that people would take accountability, but I don't believe that we live in a generation where people do take accountability.
Well, that is certainly true. I just feel like it's like you said, like, we're talking about professional athletes who have, you know, who have agents and who have publicists and who have nutritionists and who have people sort of, you know, watching sort of everything they do.
Every moment of their day.
And somehow this one just sneaks in. You know, I mean, that's the part I have a hard time, you know, grasping with.
Yeah, I don't believe it, but, you know, like, I guess what are they going to say? And it's easy way out. And everyone always says, oh, I drank a drink that I picked up at GNC or whatever it may be. But, you know, I actually don't know how people would respond to that. Like, you know what? I cheated. I tried to get away with it. I'm trying to become an all-star. And I know if I'm an all-star, I get paid more money. So this is the reason why I did it, but I don't know.
you probably can't say that.
There is some truth to that.
Yeah.
If John Collins is an all-star this year and he's up for an extension and he ends up, you know, like, having a really good year, let's just say this stuff works and whatever. I mean, it is documented that, you know, there's been all kinds of Olympic athletes or Lance Armstrong or whoever which have used this, and they obviously they're clearly bigger, stronger, faster. So it clearly must work. So if a guy I don't know why people don't own that, but, you know, I guess it's just what it is in our society. But I'm with you. I had the radio show today, I had the podcast today, and we talked about the same thing. Like, why is it so hard for people to take accountability to their actions?
I last ones, how sustainable is what Phoenix is doing? They went and got a point guard. Booker can just concentrate on score, and last night they hand Philadelphia their first loss of the season. How about this Phoenix
team? You know what stands out, and I should have known this, and sometimes you're like a prisoner of your own, you know, environment, but I knew Aaron Baines was a stud. Baines. If Aaron Baines was on Boston, I would say that Boston have a really good chance of, like, kind of making noise in the playoffs. But he goes to Phoenix, and I kind of just write him off. Like, oh, no, it's so poor Baines. You know, that's my guy, but he's in Phoenix good. Right now, like, withering away. Mm-hmm. Go watch Aaron Baines set screens for Devin Booker.
Yep.
You'll never, ever see Devin Booker more wide open. It's unbelievable. And I was like, I knew this. It's not. I covered Baines 82 games last year. Mm-hmm. But you forget sometimes how important
he's
the
valuable.
Little things are.
Yes.
And he's made Devin Booker a much better player, which – to Devin Booker's credit, because he's getting so wide open all the time, he also doesn't force a lot of shots. He's like making the extra pass, because when you do get wide open, it causes the defense to shift. Now it makes your read so much better. When you're not getting open, the defense doesn't shift, so it doesn't look as wide open as you would think it does. But now he's coming off screen from Baines. He's wide open. He's turning corners. Defenses are adjusting, and he's finding dudes wide open. So it's fun to watch Phoenix right now, and I actually am super down on Portland for whatever reason. I'm down on Portland. No bigs, Nurkic, Zach Collins is out. Not a big fan of Hassan Whiteside. So I actually, at this point, I know this sounds crazy, but I got Phoenix battling and probably going to be better than Portland.
Hey, Scal, always appreciate the time,
man. Brother.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. See you.
Yes, sir. He is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider Calls brought to you by the Midsize Metros from Mercedes-Benz. Make sure you check out Brian's new show. It's Scal and Pals. You can check it out on radio.com/SCAL and on the radio.com app. All you got to do is search the word Scal.